Well, welcome everybody to Take 10. We come to you every week with a discussion of a variety of mental health related issues and caregiving. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host for Take 10 today. Dr. Jamie Heisman is the Chief Compassion Officer for WellMed Medical Management. He's a leading authority on caregiver burnout and compassion, fatigue, and related addictions. Dr. Jamie is known nationally for his work, not only with caregivers, but with addictions. And our other co-host today, filling in for Carol Zernial, is Peaches Hall. Peaches serves as Executive Director of the Doris Griffin Senior Center in San Antonio. She's been there now 10 years. Prior to that, she managed a memory care unit in Florida and elsewhere, and she has a side gig, which is pretty interesting. She's an antique dealer. So let's begin, Dr. Jamie. You had a pretty good idea of talking about, this is National Mental Health Month, talking about caregivers and the correlation to mental health. What does that mean?
Well, you know, Ron, I'm going to actually correct you, but I think what you said was more indicative of the way life should be. So this is not really Mental Health Awareness Month when you're probably going to have this aired, but Mental Health Awareness Month is in May. Now, me as a psychologist or a mental health, I call social entrepreneur between TV and caregiving, I believe Mental Health Awareness Month should be every month, personally. I don't think there should be one 30-day period. But this year, why I think is such a pertinent topic for our caregivers to listen to is that we're now looking at Mental Health Awareness Month 2024 as being entirely trauma focused. And when I say trauma focused, you know, Peaches works with Doris Griffin, and everybody there has that element of complex trauma, has gone through trauma, veterans, et cetera. Trauma focused means a whole nother thing today to caregivers that I think this is an important mindful lesson to learn. So I'm here to talk about Mental Health Awareness. How's that?
Now, when you say trauma, a lot of folks listening, Dr. Jamie, don't understand it within the mental health context. They think of an accident, injuries, and that kind of trauma. What are you referring to?
Well, I am referring to that as PTSD. We do see that the episodic sort of change of life, whether it's a car accident or tragic death or something, you know, physical, emotional, sexual abuse for a psychologist will change people's lives. It's a paradigm shift. And if they don't have the resilience from childhood, they're not going to really fare well through the trauma. That's PTSD. Complex PTSD is literally, I call them childhood PTSD, those innocent abuses and sometimes not so innocent that doesn't allow us to have a fair, consistent, available childhood, that doesn't allow us to have a primary caregiver be there unconditionally to tell us the world is safe. So complex PTSD is what I really want caregivers to zone in on, as opposed to simply their thoughts around what they've learned about PTSD, because nothing triggers caregiving or the challenges of caregiving more than childhood PTSD.
And I have to go back to where you talk about trauma, and it does make you feel like you've been hit by a truck. And if you have just been told that somebody that you're caring for is declining, nothing feels like you've been hit by a truck more than that. And just getting through that part of it is, you know, even sometimes driving home, you're not 100% doing what you should be doing. So it's a whole nother. It adds on, it piles on, and you just feel it. And sometimes don't know you're feeling it.
You know, Peaches, it's great that you bring that up, because I hate to ruin everybody's day, but I see life through clinical eyes. So let's take the scenario you just mentioned, right? All of a sudden, somebody you know has got chronic terminal acute illness. All of a sudden, they find out they're passing. The loss, you know, it puts us in such a dysregulated way. I totally honor what you're saying, and that we should all be very mindful. Caregivers go through that all the time. But now what if the loss of that triggers childhood stuff? What if you say, well, maybe I could have changed this, or maybe I could have been a better son or a better daughter, or maybe if I hadn't done this, that, you know, all the terrible things about our shame of childhood and all the terrible kind of ghosts and goblins that have been instilled in our head now gets triggered in that moment with the loss or impending loss of somebody. So those ghosts and goblins come rising to the top. And where do we go to process it? Where do we go to understand it? Where do we go? We know it's not our fault, but we need to get in touch with it. And that's what I mean in the world of psychology. What you said is what happens in the moment. And man, oh man, that is a killer diller. And all the things rise to the top. But what happens then if the other things that we've not dealt with also rises to the top?
Right. Stay with me just a minute. I want to let folks know who may have just joined us. You're listening to Take 10. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host today, Dr. Jamie Heisman and Peaches Hall. We're talking about trauma and caregiving and how to manage what becomes a huge emotional downside and sometimes an upside to the caregiving field. Peaches, you wanted to jump in.
Yeah, I just think that people need to know that there's always a Dr. Jamie in their area, and it's important to talk to somebody. It's more important than people can even realize until you start piling more stuff. So I have childhood trauma, but I was fortunate enough, being a foster child, that they put me in the system to get a Dr. Jamie. And so when I have those things hit me double hard, I can go back and find in my toolbox things that can help me. But not everybody has been presented with a toolbox or been presented with the skills how to use those tools.
You know, Peaches, is great. Yeah, I love always being doing the show with you. So to our listeners right now, if you went to psychologytoday.com, okay, psychologytoday.com, which I write for, and on the front page, it says search for a therapist. Okay, just put your zip code in. Your zip code, that's it. Out will pop 10, 12 people in your area that are licensed and credentialed. Make sure if you're a caregiver that they are trained and certified in trauma. And make sure if you're a caregiver to look for what I call DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy, meaning they deal with the mindfulness in the moment and the resilience. They won't have to go back and say, what happened when you're 10 years old? Then, Peaches, then guess what? You have Dr. Jamie's all around you. So the cool thing is, all you need to do is go put your zip code in and search for a therapist on Psychology Today and get used to them. Talk to them. Don't be fooled by letters. See if you feel comfortable, because you're going to need that safe space to process what you just said, Peaches, which is impending sort of challenges and trauma in our lives.
Yeah. All right, let me zoom down a rabbit hole for just a minute, Dr. Jamie. How do you pre-interview a therapist? What are the kinds of questions that a Peaches or a Ron ought to ask before we say, okay, you work for me?
God, that's a great question, Ron. You always come up with the real challenging ones. And so I'm going to say what I tell my patients to say all the time. My first one is not what school you went to. It certainly is if you're trained and certified in trauma. That's critical. Are you trained and certified in dialectical behavioral therapy? But that's all in their bio. My question, and the question of the year, is, hey, you're going to be my therapist. Are you in therapy too? Because if they're not in therapy, if they're not really believing that their craft works so well, that it works for them, then they may be, as I said, we call it countertransference, working their stuff out on you. So my first question, and get comfortable as you listen, allow them to respond, because I'm a therapist. I see my therapist, you know, Ron, too, at 1 o'clock every Tuesday. I need it. I am only a human being, not a human doing. I deal with a lot of traumas and dramas of people all around me at WellMed and in my personal life. So I have to have a place to take it. So I think that's the most critical question. Listen to them. If they're not in therapy, I would go find somebody else, because their self-awareness mixed with their professional training is where they're going to be able to start where you're at rather than start where they think you should be at.
See, that's interesting. You shouldn't be uncomfortable saying, well, are you in therapy? And it's not a HIPAA violation for them to say, yeah, here I am.
No, it's a corrective experience. If they believe in it, like I did, listen, I was a troubled youth. I've been in therapy most of my life, and I believed in it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. But if they balk, if they have a difficult time answering that question, or they feel shame and stigma, or they can't be honest and authentic with you, I think that's pretty diagnostic of whether you can feel safe with them. Because, yes, we can do a lot online, don't get me wrong, but I do believe we have to neurologically connect, meaning that the key for caregivers today, and then I'll leave you with this, is emotional regulation, taking care of your breath work, your Pilates, your yoga, doing things that power you up, hanging around safe people, co-regulation, meaning you got to feel safe with the person in front of you. Guess what? If you don't feel safe with that therapist after that question, go find another.
Bingo. Got to end it right there. Take 10. Thank you to Peaches Hall and Dr. Jamie Heisman. I'm Ron Aaron. We appreciate you joining us today on Take 10.